Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Kevin Eikenberry, welcome to the conversation today.
Jonathan, it's a pleasure to be with you. We had a little trouble making this happen, but here we are. And by everybody, those problems were mine, not Jonathan's. So, man, I'm glad to be with you.
You know, you got to be adaptive, right? There's things happen and technological things happen. And I'm glad we were able to get this rescheduled and have this conversation because it's a topic that I really kind of care about and think about and talk with people about. We're going to be talking about why return to office plans are failing and what companies should be focused on instead. And that's not to say that it's inappropriate to have people return to the office. I think as we were talking in the pre-interview, you know, do you have a purpose? Do you have a reason behind it? Is there a strategic foundation behind it? Or is it just kind of your preference? I've seen a lot of senior leaders kind of leaning into just their preference and then making these mandates, and that can be problematic. And so we'll explore this, and I think it'll be a really fun conversation. Kevin is joining us from the Indianapolis area. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. As we get started, I wanted to share Kevin's bio. Kevin Eikenberry is a recognized world expert on leadership development and learning, and is chief potential officer of the Kevin Eikenberry Group. In the last 30 years, he has helped organizations across North America and leaders from 53 countries on leadership, teamwork, and communication, and more. Twice, he has been named by Inc.com as one of the top 100 leadership and management experts in the world, and has been included in other similar lists. Again, Kevin, a pleasure to have you. Anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on in?
Well, I mean, so glad that you read that bio that my mother wrote. I'm happy to hear that. But I will say that probably the reason that I'm here beyond all that stuff, I'll say two things. One is, along with my co-author, Wayne Trammell, we've written three books all about this remote long distance thing: long distance leader, long distance teammate, and the long distance team. And so, and maybe more important than all that, Jonathan, is that I've been leading a remote team for a decade, over a decade. Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. And of course, during the pandemic, this came to a head. Like, so many organizations were forced to go remote if it was possible, just in order to stay alive and to stay functioning and open and relevant. And so many organizations that may have been hesitant to lean into remote or hybrid work were forced to over the course of the pandemic. And I think many people figured it out. Certainly, you know, there were studies that looked at people's preferences of work modality pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, post-pandemic. And it was a really interesting shift in preference and perception of workers. And long story short, basically, people became much more comfortable with remote and hybrid work during the pandemic because they were kind of forced to figure it out. What's interesting is that many leaders in organizations, didn't quite have that same adjustment and same transition. And as restrictions lifted and as public health allowed, you know, more and more people wanted their workers to come back to the office. And this happened amidst this dynamic where people realized, oh my gosh, like the flexibility and the freedom involved with remote work and like being able to live anywhere and not having to commute 2 hours a day and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like all these benefits that people recognized after having, you know, a taste of it, they didn't necessarily want to go back to work. So all of this has been influenced heavily by
didn't
want
to go back to the office. We got to make sure we're not saying they want to go back to work. They were working,
to a physical workplace in the office. Yes, absolutely. And so while this has been shaped largely, you know, at scale because of the pandemic, you make an important point. This isn't new. Like remote work, hybrid work has been happening for forever. You've been running a fully remote team for over a decade. You said, you know, I know people who have been working remotely or been running remote companies, remote teams for decades. And you can go back in time and, you know, even 4 or 5 decades ago, there were jobs that were remote jobs, telecommute jobs,
lots of sales, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so let's go back even further.
Yeah,
Genghis Khan.
Exactly. And so the point is,
managed half of the, you know, led half of the
yes
known world, and never had a WebEx meeting, never had a Zoom call.
That's right. And so the point is, you know, let's recognize that, yes, is this more at the forefront of people's minds, and does it impact more people today than it did pre-pandemic? Absolutely. But these are all dynamics that have been in existence, and we've been trying to figure out how to utilize existing technologies as they're emerging over time. There's new tools to help us do it better, more effectively. All of that's true. So then it raises the question, why all of these return to office mandates that we've been seeing in, you know, recent months and in the last year or so? And does it make sense? Is it the right move? And obviously, you know, the answer is, it depends. Is it the right move? It depends on the organization. It depends on what you're doing, what your product or service is. It depends on the type of work your people need to do. It depends, certainly. And ultimately, we, I think, both just want to advocate for people to have thoughtful conversations around what work can and should look like within your organizations, and then make a plan around the mix of in-person office versus hybrid versus remote work. So that was a lot. I kind of went on my little rant there. So I'm going to pause and give you a chance. Like, from your perspective and the work you've done and the books you've published, why do you see return to office plans, you know, as sometimes lacking, even failing? And what would be a better focus for leaders?
Well, there's a lot here we can talk about. And one thing I would say is that because of the pandemic, because of all of that, and because, you know, we've been moving in the direction of a more distributed workplace, as you said, for a long time. But for society to sort of shift its view of work takes about 70 or 80 years. We could go back and talk about, you know, in the mid 1800s, you worked 6 days a week, and you worked 12, 14 hours a day. You worked daylight till dusk, all that stuff. And now we have always thought of work as 8 to 5, 40 hours a week, 8 to 5 mm-hmm. for most, but 40 hours a week. And if you didn't work that way, you immediately said, well, but I work swing shift, or I work every other weekend, or what, right. Our society has viewed work around going to a place to do it in a certain time window. And so even though we've been, and we didn't get from 6 days a week, 12 hours a day to 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, even though they started testing it in the 1860s and 70s, we didn't get there till the Depression, to where that was like really the way it was done. And so we've mm-hmm. now transferred a lot of that time into a very short window, which is one of the reasons why for so many people it felt and continues to feel somewhat chaotic, if you will. So mm-hmm. to your question about why the massive move back, I think that the biggest challenge that we face is that people are treating this as an either or thing. They're treating it like there's on this side, there are senior managers who want everybody back, and we don't even know why they want them back, but they want them back. And people here say, I don't necessarily want to come back. Why are you making me come back? And so rather than thinking about us being in this together, we've made it and the media has reported it as such, as a sort of either or, us versus them situation, which certainly hasn't helped. Right. So one of the things that I've said to lots of folks who said, I don't understand why senior leaders want to bring people back, I said, well, there are lots of possible reasons, but let me tell you one of them right now. Those people were successful in a world of work that looked like everybody was around. They got mentored, they grew, and they were successful in that world. And some of them want their people to be successful. They want their organizations to be successful. They won at that game, and they want their teams to win. And that's the game they know how to play. So it isn't necessarily a power grab. It isn't necessary, although it could be. It isn't necessarily, I just want it the way it always was, although it could be. It could be related to organizations wanting to support their downtowns and bringing people, but like there's some civic, like there's a, my point is there's a bunch of stuff here, and it doesn't help when people start to pit one answer versus another. And so what I would say is that I agree with what you said, Jonathan, to start, which is that the decisions here, like, let me back up and say that just because I've written three books that have long distance in the title does not mean I'm one of these people who says everyone should work remotely. Sure. And, yeah, you know, I am not the remote work advocate. What I am is to say that if that's the way we need to work, let's figure out how to do it really, really, really well. Because we can do it really, really, really well. But it really should be based on the work of the organization and the work of the team. Really, it's not an organizational decision. It should really be a much more granular decision than that. And so I think organizations have failed because they've made global decisions. They've made quick decisions, and they've made us versus them decisions.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to articulate it. Making the more micro level decisions, I think, is really important. And it's one of the reasons why I think kind of these general return to office mandates don't work, is simply because you have just vastly different circumstances amongst different parts of the company and amongst different team members and teams and different units doing different types of work. And so it may make all the sense in the world for certain parts of your business to be in person pretty much all the time, you know, maybe not all the time, but most of the time. And that is fine, you know, and be able to articulate that and be able to explain why you feel that way as a leader. But to say that everyone uniformly just needs to be back in the office, a lot of times, you know, there may be nuanced, complex sets of reasons like you described. And a lot of times, though, at least it's perceived from the worker as being, oh, this is just my boss trying to control, trying to just do what they're comfortable with, not adapting to the times, blah, blah, blah. You can fill in the gaps with whatever, you know, thing that people are thinking. And ultimately, it doesn't really even matter what the leader's real justification is, because the perception is going to win the day if you're not communicating effectively what the actual reasons are, right?
Yeah, 100%. So I've helped a lot of leaders craft their communication about whatever their decision was, hybrid, whatever, return, whatever. And I've been in the room on client sites when those decisions were announced. And in fact, in one case where I had nothing to do with what that communication was going to be like, but I was sitting with a group of leaders because I was delivering a workshop, and they had this town hall meeting for leaders in the middle of it. So we stopped and we watched this. And one of the mistakes that those leaders made, and one of the mistakes that a lot of leaders have made in this communication, is they haven't talked enough about the why. Why are we bringing people back? They've talked a lot about, well, I've already been back and it's really not so bad. I'm kind of used to it again. I kind of missed the commute, like all that stuff. Like, that all rings very hollow if we don't start more with what's the business case here. Right. And I think we're in definite agreement that it's a mistake to make this decision globally. It's a mistake to make this decision across an organization, but it's also a mistake to assume that everybody wants to work at home, because they don't.
Right.
Some people are ready to be back in, really want that 2 days a week, 3 days a week in the office. Really, actually, I talked to someone just the other day that says, man, you know what? I actually am enjoying my commute, because I have a break between when I'm at work and when I'm at home. And people forgot what that was like when all you're doing is walking through a doorway into the rest of your life. And all of, so like the right answer for everybody and for every team is really situational. And you said it early, it depends. And we should stop creating policy and start creating pilots and trying stuff and looking at it. And I think the location isn't even the only part of this equation. The time of day is a part of this equation. And the nature of, you know, are people 40-hour employees? Are they 30-hour employees? Is it okay for people to work a different time of day? All of those things. I believe the future of work is actually flexible. The word for us to think about here is flexibility, rather than trying to come up with what the new right answer is, because none of us know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Flexibility, just learning to be flexible, I think is important. And I agree. Like I'm all about flexibility and having some of both. You know, there are times where it's super helpful and convenient for me to be able to be at home for a variety of reasons. But I also like going into the office and I like interacting with my colleagues. And I remember it's been a hot minute because I actually, you know, my main gig is I'm a university professor. I live a mile from campus. I don't have a commute. It like takes me 5 minutes. I could walk here in 10 minutes if I wanted to. And so, you know, I don't have the commute, but there was a time where I did, and I had about an hour each way. And you're absolutely right. When that went away, on the one hand, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get all this time back. On the other hand, I was really sad about it because all of a sudden, you know, I read a lot of books. I would commute on, you know, on the express bus. And I'm like, I read a lot of books commuting, and that was like treasured time.
Right? A couple a week. Unbelievable, yeah. Right?
Yeah. It was tremendous. And when that went away, all of a sudden my book reading went way down. Not because I didn't want to, it's just because that time got sucked into other things. Exactly. Right. And so, yeah, absolutely. Just remembering that people have different preferences. I think why people like remote work is primarily because they like the flexibility, not necessarily because they just hate going into the office. You know, they just like the flexibility because life is messy and busy and you have to do lots of different things and juggle, and they like the flexibility. So recognizing that, I think, is just really, really important. As you're talking too, you know, I'm thinking about different life stages. So I've had different times in my life where it was way more helpful for me to have more opportunity for flex work and remote work. Whereas now, you know, I have 6 children. When I was going through like those years of my wife and I having children and taking care of the kids, flexibility ruled the day. Like we wanted as much flexibility as we can get. Now my youngest is 10, you know, my oldest 2 are in college. Like kids are in school all day. Like I don't need the same level of flexibility that was really important to me 10 years ago. And I really crave being in the office because I don't need that flexibility. So just recognizing life stage matters, a variety of different factors are going to impact whether or not people want one thing or the other. And if you can, you know, have some sort of flexibility, have a hybrid approach, I think that's going to win the day for most people.
Here's a lesson that I think many leaders learned during the pandemic that I hope we haven't forgotten. And I'm going to connect it to what you're saying. One of the things I said a lot during the pandemic to leaders is remember that what your folks are experiencing is not, we're all experiencing a pandemic. But how we're experiencing it is very different based on life stage, based on 100 factors, based on how we feel about the vaccine and the issues itself and how it's impacting the rest of our lives and the ages of our parents, if we have parents, the ages of our kids and 100 other things. Like everyone was having a similar experience and was having a very different experience at the same time. And I think many leaders figured out that they needed to be more empathetic, and they figured out how to listen and understand those differences. And what I'm suggesting now is that don't forget that lesson, because that's still true. Just because it's no longer the overriding factor is no longer a pandemic doesn't mean that there isn't a need for us to understand that we're going through, like, you've got kids at home. My kids are 31 and 26. Like, they ain't home. Right. And I don't have that. I'm in a different spot than that. Right.
Yeah.
And so I have people on my team during the pandemic ranging from 30 to over 70, like they're all in a different spot. And so all of us have that, even if demographically it looks like they're not, we still all have these different things. And so as leaders, go back to this idea of let's stop trying to make a policy and start trying to come up with a way to pilot, to test, to try stuff, to engage our teams with it. If we want engaged employees, which everyone says they want, even though none of us can really define or have a common definition of that word, we all say we want that. And yet on these big important issues, if we're not engaging them in it, why can we expect them to be engaged in other situations? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Hopefully, you know, as we're talking through this, people are having some light bulb moments of like just some core principles that I think are going to be really helpful for us. Whether we're talking right now, we're kind of focusing on the return to office stuff and remote work, but the principles of what we're talking about, I think apply in a lot of different types of scenarios. So let's keep those in mind. I think that will be really helpful. And one of the things that you've mentioned a couple times, I've mentioned it or at least alluded to it, was, you know, really the importance of redesigning work. The modern world of work looks different than it did 50 years ago, right? You kind of walk through some of the historical kind of ways that work, how we tended to experience work. And you go back even 30 years ago, I mean, the traditional job was you leave, you go 8 to 5, maybe longer, right? At a physical office space. You do, you know, a particular type of work, hierarchical structures, you know, top-down leadership, like all these kind of traditional
neckties.
Necktie, suits and ties, right? Like, so you have all these kind of traditional norms that were established in a different age that over time, of course, you know, we things like business casual tends to reign supreme now in a lot of workplaces instead of suits and ties, thank goodness, for me personally. But, you know, like there's lots of things that have shifted and changed. And what that means is, and what the pandemic, I think, did for a lot of people is to maybe for the first time in a long time, feel like you have permission to question and like challenge the status quo and think, do we really need to do it that way? We've kind of always done it that way just because it's tradition, it's norms, but does it need to be that way? And I think we all realize, or at least a lot of us realize that no, it doesn't just need to be that way because that's how we've always done it. And so the redesign of the workplace, the redesign of jobs, the redesign of how work gets done is one of those core principles, I think, that transcends whether we're talking about return to office, in-person office work, remote, hybrid work, whatever. I think it's an important conversation for the future of work generally. Any thoughts on that?
No, I would agree with that. And I think that that we need to think about it collectively on our team. You know, if I'm a leader, if you're listening to us and you're a senior leader, a senior executive, you're looking at this through a different lens, and you can think about that from your perspective. But if you're with us today and you're a leader in the middle of the organization, or you're a frontline supervisor, even frontline leader, there are still things here for you to think about, not in terms of the overall principles, but in what ways can we engage with our folks to think about how we can get great results regardless of where, and how does location or proximity need to play into us getting those great results? Because ultimately, one of the challenges that we've faced here is that we've framed productivity incorrectly. We've said productivity equals activity, mm-hmm. when really productivity equals accomplishment. And so if we make sure as leaders, whatever level we're at, that we're measuring and thinking about, are we accomplishing the things we need to accomplish to make our business, our team successful? And how can we create ways to do that give people flexibility? If we can, then let's do that. And if that flexibility includes the location, great. And if that flexibility includes the time of day, great. And whatever that looks like. But, and here's what I will say, that most of your folks, if they really understand that and they feel like they've been heard in that, will be fine with coming to the office some of the time, as long as they know the why of that.
Yep.
They may not love it, may not be their first choice. Doesn't mean they won't do it, as long as we have a clear, crystal clear understanding of why we're doing that, the context for doing that, and we're framing it all around what we're accomplishing, not just, are we all working?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of the old fashioned butts and seats model just doesn't fly. Like, people are so skeptical of that and don't believe in that. So Great, great stuff. Kevin, this has just been a really fun conversation. I know at the time I need to let you go, but before we wrap things up, I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Yeah, so you can certainly go to our website, Kevin Eikenberry, EIKENBERRY.com, KevinEikenberry.com, and find all sorts of resources to help you as a leader, both regardless of where your folks might be working, whether it's remote, hybrid, or in the office. It doesn't really matter because, you know, at the end of the, well, I'll say that for a second. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I mentioned the three books, The Long Distance Leader, The Long Distance Team, and The Long Distance Teammate, all of them available on Amazon, all of them that you can find on our website. I hope that you'll connect with me on LinkedIn. And here's where I'll leave us. That it's the first rule in our book, Long Distance Leader, that it's more the same than different. And so, like we've talked all through this conversation, this conversation wasn't really only about return to office, right? It was about leadership principles. And so I'll leave you with this, that for us to be more effective, leading a team that may not always be in the same place, that we need to think leadership first, location second. It's still leadership first. And that is what matters the most. If our folks aren't all in the same proximity with us every day, there are nuances that matter, but it's still leadership first, location second.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been a real pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Kevin can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.